Hi, I'm Chris, and if this is your first time with us, welcome. You can head over to our I'm New page to say hi and get more information on how you can connect with us. If you've been here for a while, invite a friend to watch with you by texting them or sharing our service on social media. Thank you for being here today. Right now, we are in the second week of our Sunday series, Galatians, the letter that saved the church. As you read Galatians along with us, we know that studying the Bible can feel intimidating, especially if you're just starting out. That's why we're offering a Galatians study with Charles Yu as an opportunity to learn how to dig deeper into Scripture over the course of this series. This weekly webinar is designed to help you build your confidence in reading and understanding Scripture through a few simple tools that you can practice during the week, along with a live question and answer session. You can jump in anytime by registering on our website. This year's IF Madison West will be a virtual gathering for women to watch a live stream of IF Gathering from their own homes. You can expect amazing teaching, deep conversations, and powerful worship as we look at Scripture to see who God is when it seems like the world is falling apart. Register online by February 26th to join us. Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to give towards Black Hawks Ministry, you can go to our homepage and click Give. Now, let's join Hannah and the band to worship together.
Well, hi everyone. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today as we gather together for our online worship service. As we settle in this morning to God's presence together, let's adore Him. Let's focus our hearts on who He is. The act of praising God grounds us in what is real and what is true about ourselves and about the world and about the God we're worshiping. So we're going to sing about the God who is here. He is moving. And let's pray as we sing that He is going to be meeting us today. Travis is going to lead us in this first worship song.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship You. I worship. You are here, working in this place. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship You. I worship. Darkness, my God, that is who You are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. And You are here, touching every heart. Now we're thank you. again. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop.
Us to try something a little new for us, to recognize and to celebrate the multi-ethnic, multicultural kingdom of God that we're a part of. Let's sing that chorus again, but this time in Spanish. Now, I know some of you may not know how to speak Spanish, and that's okay. I'm going to teach you how to pronounce the words before we sing them together. And even after that, if you're still feeling a little unsure, feel free to just listen and enjoy the beauty of worshiping God in a different language. But let's try learning these words together. I'm going to speak a phrase to you, and then I'll gesture to the camera, and wherever you're watching from, you can speak that phrase back to me. So here's how the words go. Milagroso. Abres camino. Cumples promesas. Luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú. Okay, let's try singing that together. Here's how it goes. Milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres. Abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú. Let's try that all together again. Milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú.
I
Thank you, Lord. That is who you are. That no matter what is happening in the world around us or in our lives, we can ground ourselves in who you are and who you have shown yourself to be in history and in the world and in our lives time and time again as a good God, a great God, a powerful God, a gracious and compassionate God, and so much more, Lord. We thank you that we can worship you and be reminded of these things. We pray that as we continue in this space together, that your Holy Spirit would be moving in our hearts and working to mold us more into people who look and see the world like Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Well, hey, you guys, welcome. It is so good to be with you this morning, worshiping from our many different locations. So thanks so much for joining in. Hey, as we continue in our Galatians series, I want to highlight a couple of ways that we can make the most out of our time together as we work through the book of Galatians. So first, if you head on over to our Galatians resource page, you are going to find some information about our weekly webinar with Pastor Charles Yee, where he's going to be helping us to dive deeper into the book of Galatians. And you guys, not only is this a great opportunity for you to learn more about Galatians, but also is a great opportunity to gather some tools to help you to study scripture, as well as to ask your questions. And so you can head on over to the resource page and find a recording of this past week's webinar, as well as a link to sign up for this next one tomorrow night. You guys, we had over 300 people join us for this last week's webinar, and we hope that you are going to join us this week. So head on over and sign up. And as you're signing up, if you scroll down, you're going to see some other resources, including our Next Steps podcast, where each week we are going to release a short 10-minute devotional that's going to help you just to sit and reflect on the passages of Scripture from the week before, as well as just to allow God's Spirit and presence to change us and to transform us. So head on over to that page and check that out. All right, well, with that, I'm going to hand it over to Chris for today's message.
Hey, welcome, Blackhawk Church. Hey, great to see you. And those of you who are part of our Blackhawk Chinese ministry, Di Zhong Zi Mei Ping An. So good to see everybody. Whoa, just good to see everybody. And thanks for tuning in. Hey, is there a shout out to some friends in Singapore and New Zealand and Australia and some friends in Israel and other people around the world that are watching. So hey, shout out to you guys. So. Awesome. Good to see you. So, hey, what do you think of this? Hey, balance beam. And, you know, many of you know that 43 years ago, you know, I used to be a gymnast, but balance beam wasn't a part of men's gymnastics. It's a women's event, and I don't have a skill set for this, but I know that there are young women in our church that do gymnastics. And next time we have in-person services, If you guys, when you come up to me and say, "Hey, Pastor Chris, I'm a gymnast. Once a gymnast, always a gymnast," and love to get to know who you are. So, you know, when women do gymnastics in the Olympics, the regulation height is 4 feet. It's 4 inches wide, and it's 4 feet up in the air. And man, I thought about bringing one of those. I'd kill myself. So, whoa. Oh, okay. Stop. Okay. Hey, you want to see a trick? Here we go. Okay. Little bounce move right here. Yeah. Just a second. I got to hold it. Okay. Just a second. Woo, 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 woo. Oh, let's do it. Okay. Do another one. Okay. See a handstand? Want to see a handstand? Okay. Watch this. Here we go. I'm not doing a handstand. You think I'm crazy? No way, man. I'd like die up here. No way. I'm going to be 65 3 days from now. I'm just happy to be able to walk on this thing. I'll tell you. Here we go. All right. So some of you are going, wow, like what's he doing up on a balance beam? Well, part of the reason I'm up here is because I'm trying to demonstrate the fact that this is hard. This is just hard. And it doesn't matter how good you are, you can fall off a balance beam. It's pretty easy to fall off a balance beam because there's an invisible force that's always working against you. It's called gravity. Even the best gymnasts in the world fall off a balance beam. Here's the best gymnast in the world right here. Here's Simone, and she's catching her balance right there. So I don't think she actually fell off, though. But she has fallen off many times. But at any rate, when she falls off, it's because she's doing some trick like this, like an aerial backflip with her legs split like that. So that's what cussing. Want to see me do that? I can't do that kind of thing. No way. So there you go. It's hard. Hard to stay off here because there's always an invisible force that's constantly working against the gymnast as you try to be on the balance beam. Okay, some of you are wondering, what? Ooh. Okay. Stop laughing, people that are in the room. There's like 10 people in the room right now. Okay. All right, some of you are wondering, like, why? Why do I have a balance beam up here? Well, in this message, this beam represents that I'm breathing hard. Gee whiz. Oh my gosh. In this message, the beam represents the truth claims of the core message of Christianity. The core message of Christianity is the gospel. And the beam, which is actually made of oak, and it's very solid, represents the solid truth claims of the gospel. The first solid truth claim of the good news, the gospel, is that God loves us. The God of the universe, the God that created all things, he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And that's a solid truth claim. Everything else follows from that. The second truth claim that the beam represents is God's grace. God's grace means that there is nothing we can do to cause God to love us less. And there's nothing we can do to cause God to love us more. His love is not based upon what we do. His love is based upon his grace. It's not meritorious. There's nothing we can do to deserve God's love. That's his grace. Another truth claim of the gospel is that I'm a mess. I'm a sinful person. My heart is desperately wicked, and I am, my heart is like a bent stick, and it's not needing a reformation. I need a new life completely. I'm a mess. I've said things that I shouldn't have said. I've done things I shouldn't have done. And the same with all of us. All human beings are sinful, and that causes a barrier between us and God. But God solved that barrier by sending his son Jesus to die on a cross for us. So that's another truth claim of the gospel, is that Jesus and the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for all of our sins. He took upon himself our sins, and he took the punishment that we deserve. There is no gospel apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. And when he died on that cross, he paid it all. He paid it all. And because he was God, he rose from the dead, demonstrating he's more powerful than sin, death, and Satan. The last truth claim of the gospel is that I begin a relationship with God by faith. By faith. By trust. Just like I'm trusting this piece of oak right now. By faith. By trusting in what God has done for me in Jesus Christ on the cross. That's how I begin. Not by me doing anything, but it's by faith in Jesus Christ. So here's a summary of all of the solid points of the truth claims of the gospel. It's about God's love, God's grace, my sin, Jesus and the cross, and faith. Now, okay, so that's solid. Walking My walking on this beam is applying those truth claims to my life. There's a vast amount of implications of the gospel. The gospel has huge implications for my life. For example, if I start to feel like the value that I have as a human being, my ultimate identity comes from what I do and who I am, I fall off of the beam. Because I should get my identity from the fact that the God of the universe loves me. I mean, good golly. If I start to believe that because I do good things and I care for people who don't have anything and I'm really interested in what's going on in the world today and I want to do something about it, if I think that God loves me because of that, I've fallen off the beam. The implications of the gospel is that there's God loves me not because of anything that I do, no matter if I do good things or not. That's not why he loves me. He loves me because of his grace. If I am more concerned about what other people think of me than what God thinks of me, I fall off the beam. I fall off the beam because the most important thing is what God thinks of me. The gospel is solid, but my living my life according to the truth claims of the gospel means I have to be lined up with this all the time. And there are huge forces against me all the time, like anti-grace forces and forces about like, oh, God loves you because you're just a great person. Those are forces, and they're invisible, and they cause me to fall out of line with the gospel. How you guys doing? You guys get this? Let me ask you a question. I'm your pastor, okay? So I've been a pastor for 37 years now. I got a bunch of seminary degrees. Do you think I could ever fall out of line with the gospel? The answer is yes, absolutely I could, totally. Why? Simone Biles falls off this thing. It doesn't matter who you are. It's hard to walk and get all of the implications of the gospel right all the time in our life. Very, very, very difficult. In fact, I would say the history of the church is a history of people falling off the beam, actually. Yeah, I can fall off. I fall off a lot. I start to think what other people think is more important than what God thinks. I do that all the time. Let me ask you another question. Do you think if you actually had Jesus as a mentor, if Jesus was your guide, if Jesus was your friend, if you were with, do you think if you lived and ate and was you were with Jesus all the time, you think you could fall off the gospel then? The answer is yes, absolutely. And that's what we're going to look at today, because the Apostle Peter, who knew Jesus just about better than anybody else, he absolutely fell off the beam. That's what we're going to talk about today. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Let me remind us of what we've been covering in this series. We're going through the book of Galatians, and we are calling this series Galatians, the letter that saved the church. And last week, Pastor Charles introduced the entire book. And as you heard from Chris earlier and then also from Tiffany, we have started this webinar on Monday night. So we're encouraging people to dig in, and hundreds of people join Charles on Monday night and just listen to him kind of talk more about. So if you like Bible study, Monday nights, that is it. So go there and listen to Charles talk. Let me tell you a little bit about what he said last week. There are some major players in the early church that didn't always agree with each other. Here are the major players. They are James, who's actually the brother of Jesus. He was the head of the kind of the mother church in Jerusalem. And then there was Peter, and he was one of the 12 disciples. And, you know, he walked and talked with Jesus, was mentored personally by Jesus. He was an ultimate insider. And then there's this guy, Paul, who wrote the letter to the Galatians, and he's like the ultimate outsider. James is like his Jesus' brother. This guy ran around with Jesus, you know, in all those years. And this guy, he never really met Jesus before Jesus died on the cross. He really had nothing to do with Jesus. Actually, after Jesus rose from the dead, Paul went around persecuting people who were followers of Christ, saying that they were completely wrong. They got the Torah wrong. And he was persecuting the ultimate outsider. Here are the major churches back in those days, too. The Church of Jerusalem. James was centered there, and Church of Antioch. Peter was centered. This really became the major center of the sending movement of the church. And then at one time, Paul then was sent out by the church at Antioch to the region of Galatia. And you see the region up there. See how far away that is from Jerusalem. And actually, Paul was in this area. And something happened to him. We don't exactly know what, but it was probably something happened to his eyes. And the people in Galatia started taking care of him. And while they were taking care of him, he shared the gospel with them. And the people in Galatia, they're not Jewish people. They're Gentile people. And these people responded to his preaching. And when Paul preached, he preached about the cross of Jesus Christ and made it so clear to them that they needed to place their faith in what Jesus had done for them on the cross, that like a whole bunch of them came to faith in Christ. That was evidenced by the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon them and transformed their lives. And then Paul went on to the next place where he could plant another church. In the meantime, some people from Jerusalem probably came in, and they said to all the Gentiles, "Hey, you know, you guys think you're Christians, but you're not really full Christians yet, because you know Paul didn't quite get it right. You know, he made some mistakes. He probably got the message of the gospel from Jerusalem, and he didn't take really good notes. But we're from Jerusalem, and we can tell you that in order for you to become a Christian, you have to ethnically become Jewish first. So all of you men out there, you got to be circumcised, okay? So let me stop for a second. Do we all understand what circumcision is, okay? So you're telling an adult man to get circumcised? It's like, what? Yeah, but Paul never told you about circumcision because he's a people pleaser. You know, he's like progressive, liberal guy. He's not conservative like we are. He won't offend anybody. So he didn't tell you about that. But you got to be circumcised. You got to obey all the food laws. You got to obey the Sabbath. Paul didn't get the gospel right. When Paul heard about that, he got fired up angry. He's like, what? Let me sit down with some parchment. And he fires off this letter, and he's fired up angry when he writes this letter. And he says basically about those guys that came into, he basically says, you know, anathema, it's a curse word, basically. Those guys! And then he's like, yeah, they think I'm a people pleaser? No way. And you know what? I didn't get the message of the gospel from Jerusalem. On that, they're right. I didn't get it from Jerusalem at all. Now, we pick up Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 11. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Heck no, I didn't get the gospel from Jerusalem. I got it from Jesus himself. Bam, drop the mic. That's basically what's going on here. No, I got it from Jesus. This is the gospel, and I got it from him. Let's keep reading. Next verse. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how I intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Very conservative. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were the apostles before I was. I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. As you read this, it's kind of like a negative travelogue about like what he didn't do. Did you see that? He says, I did not consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem. I know they're apostles. I didn't go talk to those people. I went into the desert. Let's keep reading. Then he goes on. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas. Cephas is another word for Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw Peter. I just stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God, what I am writing to you is no lie. Let's keep going. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me. I didn't get my message from Jerusalem. I had nothing to do with Judea. Oh, yeah, when I was in Jerusalem, I was there for 15 days. I didn't see anybody there. I got the message from Jesus Christ himself. You know, that's where I got the message of the gospel. Here, let's see where Syria and Cilicia are. Syria and Cilicia are far away from Jerusalem. That's what he's trying to say. Not related to Jerusalem. But then eventually, years later, I did go to Jerusalem. You pick that up in chapter 2, verse 1. Then after 14 years, man, just think of that, that's a long time. I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. So that's probably, you know, James and Peter. I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. Isn't that fantastic? He said, all of us, those esteemed leaders and myself, yeah, we know what the truth of the gospel is. And then these false people came in, and then they said, oh, Titus, he's a Gentile, right? He should be circumcised. And what does he say? Oh, we debated that for hours and hours and hours. No, no, no. What does he say? He says this. We did not give in to them. Here we go. It's some... We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. We didn't give in to them. We know what the gospel is. All of us do. We didn't give in to them for one moment. He goes on. Verse 6. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. That's a classic line right there, isn't it? Man, people show favoritism. Duh. But God doesn't. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also in work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, John, those esteemed pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Basically, he's saying those people who were leaders, we all agreed on what the gospel was. Peter was going to go to the Jewish people, and I was going to go to the Gentiles. And I got the right hand of fellowship from them, the seal of approval. There's only one thing. There was only one thing they wanted me to make sure that I kept doing. And he closes that section with this. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. Why is that important? Because that's what Christ followers do. That's why. That's the heart of God. God cares for those people who are suffering from injustice, poverty, and things like that. And you're a Christ follower. You share the gospel. You got to make sure you do that too. That's all a part of what Christ followers should be about. And then we see in the next passage this confrontation between Paul and Peter. Let's look at a map. Paul and Peter are in Antioch, and then James is in Jerusalem. And let me ask you a question before we start reading. Do these guys, do they understand the truth claims of the gospel? Do they all understand the truth claims of the gospel? The answer is yes, absolutely. They all agreed about that. That's what that meeting in Jerusalem was about. Yeah, they totally get it. But that doesn't mean we always walk according to the truth claims of the gospel. This is a huge confrontation, you guys. And Paul is going to write about it to the people in Galatia. Praise God, we have this. Here we go. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Barnabas is the guy that hangs out with Paul. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" All right, hang on. This gets a little complicated here. So what's happening here? Paul calls Peter, the Apostle Peter, the ultimate insider, a hypocrite. Why does he call him a hypocrite? Because Peter, normally, he like eats things like pork and things like that. But all of a sudden, when these men from James come there, oh, he's not going to eat like that anymore. He's going to eat kosher. So like a high school kid in a cafeteria, he sees these popular people come in the room and he picks up his cafeteria tray and he goes over to another table completely. How would it make you feel if you were sitting at this Gentile table? All of a sudden, Peter goes over there like, what? And eating was a big deal, you guys. Remember, the Lord's Supper was a meal that they would have around tables. Can you imagine having the Lord's Supper? And then all of a sudden we say, oh, certain people go over there. Now certain people go over there. Oh my gosh, this is like hypocrisy. And Peter knows better. In the book of Acts, in Acts 10, we see this thing where this revelation that God like sends this vision of this sheet down. And on this sheet is like all kinds of different animals that they were not supposed to eat in the Old Testament. And God says to Peter, get up, kill, and eat. And Peter says to God, no way. Can you imagine? It's just funny. Isn't it? That's just funny. God says, yes, eat. It's a new testament. It's a new day. And Peter realized that. In Acts 10, we read this. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that, oh, there's that phrase again, isn't that phrase? There it is. God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. The Jewish people from James were basically saying, in order for you to really be a Christian, you got to become Jewish first. You got to eat kosher. You got to be circumcised. You got to obey the Sabbath laws. And that is not true. That's adding to the gospel. You become a follower of Christ because God's love, his grace, understanding that you're a sinner and you place your faith in Jesus, what he did for you on the cross. That's how you become a believer. It has nothing to do with circumcision, nothing to do with anything else. Peter should have known better. Why did he become a hypocrite? Why did he change? You see what the text says? Look at verse 12. For certain men came from James. He used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself because he was afraid. Peter! He was afraid of what other people were going to say. Whoa, peer pressure is powerful. And what was it that Peter was doing that caused Paul to react the way he did? Did you see that? Paul writes, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all. Everybody look up here. Here's the gospel. And Paul sees Peter falling off, and he says, when I saw that, acting in line with truth of the gospel is a Greek word called this, orthopedao. Orthopedao. Ortho means straight. When you take your kids to a dentist to have their teeth straightened, you go to the orthodontist. Podao means feet. You go to the podiatrist for help with your feet. And he saw. Does Peter understand the gospel? Absolutely. Is Peter a believer? Absolutely. But there's all kinds of implications to this. All kinds. And when you tell someone that they have to do something else in order to become a follower of Christ, you're not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. Anybody figure out why I'm using a balance beam today? Orthopedao. All right, how does this relate to our lives? Well, Peter's sin was the sin of tribalism. The sin of tribalism. That is, really, if you're going to be made right with God, you have to be Jewish first and obey these Jewish laws. That's tribalistic. No. It would be like us saying something like this. You have to blank in order to be made right with God. And just fill in the blank. You have to have a certain amount of education to be made right with God. You have to come from a certain country to be made right with God. You have to vote a certain way in order to be made right with God. You just fill in the blank, you guys. Whenever you add, whenever you make that not the cross of Jesus Christ, you've fallen off. You've fallen off. Lessons for our life. First lesson is this. Don't add to the gospel. Don't add to the gospel. I'm telling you guys, we could do a history course right here. The history of the Christian church is the history of people adding to the gospel. Adding to the gospel. Don't add to the gospel. The gospel is about God's love. It's about his grace. It's about our sin. It's about the fact that only Jesus could pay for our sins. Only he can pay for our sins. And we need to place our faith in what he's done for us on the cross. Don't add to that. Second lesson for our life is this. The Messiah's family is a multi-ethnic family, you guys. It's multi-ethnic. It's like, it's always intended to be multi-ethnic. We're going to talk about this more when I do Galatians 3 in a couple weeks from now. The gospel was always proclaimed from Abraham. It was always intended. always intended to be for the whole world. It's not just for this tribe or this tribe or this tribe. It's for everybody. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. And oh, you guys, the history of the Christian church has not believed that. The history of the Christian church is like, it's just for my ethnic group. It's just for my ethnic group. And it's just for me. And that's just awful. It's for all people. When you hear us talk about multi-ethnic church, we're talking about an implication of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the implication of the gospel. Last lesson for our life is peer pressure. Man, it's powerful. The Apostle Peter, who preached the message at Pentecost where the church was formed, he's afraid of people from James coming. Oh my gosh. We know how peer pressure works in our life. It's like when we're at work, we laugh at things at work that we would never laugh at in our life group. We behave one way around one group of people, and we behave another way around another group because it's all about peer pressure. Very, very powerful. And there are pressures that are invisible to us all the time that are causing us to fall out of line with the truth of the gospel. What's the most important thing about me is where I'm from or how I feel about myself. We just fell off. We're not walking in line with the truth of the gospel. When you watch a gymnastics meet, if you watch very long, some gymnast is going to fall off. And when a gymnast falls off the beam, it doesn't mean they're not a gymnast anymore. It means they're a gymnast. It's all a part of the sport. And you're going to watch that gymnast get up back on the beam as fast as they possibly can. Boom, right back up. When we don't walk in line with the truth of the gospel, it doesn't mean all of a sudden we're not a Christian. It means we're a believer. We've just fallen out of line with what we know to be the truth of the gospel. Peter fell off. And if Peter can fall off, yeah, we all can fall off. What happened to Peter? Well, he got right back up. Now, the next verses don't exactly say that because Paul's writing a letter to the Galatians, and the next verses after that, he kind of goes into a theological explanation of what the gospel is about, and Pastor Charles will cover that next week. It's a very important message. We know that he got back up because, well, he writes a couple of books that are in your New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter, and he gets the gospel completely. He just was influenced by peer pressure, and he was afraid of what other people might say. So he fell out of line. But he knew the truth of the gospel. That even though he was a sinful man, God loved him. And God loved him so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for him. And the only way he can have a relationship with God is because of God's grace, not because he deserves it. And he placed his faith in Christ. Do you know the truth of the gospel? Have you placed your faith in Christ? Let's pray. Father, I pray for the people that are watching right now. I pray, Father, that you would help us to just remember the truth claims of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would help us in our mind's eye to see the cross and to remember that Jesus lived a life that none of us could possibly live, and he died a death we all deserve to die. But because you love us, you sent him to die on that cross and to absorb all the bad things that we have done. And we have messed up. Our sins are high. I pray, Father, that you would help people that are watching me right now to come to faith in Jesus Christ for the very first time, that it's about your love for us. It's about your grace, not because we deserve it. And when Jesus died on that cross, he paid for all of our sins so that our sins, though they might just be just ugly and a mess, it's like you just like delete, you just like wipe them all away, and our life becomes this like clean like the snow in our front yard. It just becomes just whiter than snow because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. I pray, Father, right now that someone who's listening to me will place their faith in Christ and him alone for the very first time. And Father, for those of us who know the gospel, boy, the implications of the gospel are so huge, and we don't walk according to the truth of the gospel. Many times we fall off. We pray, Father, you'd forgive us and help us to get right back on top and to walk in line with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. For the sake of his reputation, all God's people said, amen.
I hear the Savior say,
had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
What a great reminder this morning that there is nothing that we can do that will make God love us anymore or any less. And I don't know about you, but I am grateful for that because y'all, I mess up. We mess up. We fall off the beam. But listen, we serve a God who lovingly and graciously invites us to stand up, to dust ourselves off, and to get back up on the beam. And maybe for some of you this morning, you decided for the first time to get on the beam. You decided to follow Jesus. And if that's you this morning, I just want to say congratulations. We are so excited for you. And can I encourage you to tell somebody, a friend, a family member, a neighbor, that you made this decision, and then tell us. We would love to know. We'd love to encourage you and pray with you. So if you text yes to the number on your screen, we're going to have one of our pastors reach out to you this week so that we can just come alongside you and celebrate with you. Also, for the rest of us, just a reminder that after the benediction, we're going to put a couple questions on the screen, and we want to encourage you to use those to discuss with the people in your room or to use those just for some personal reflection. All right, well, for today's benediction, I'd love to encourage you with these words: as you work and play and serve out of this knowledge that you are deeply loved. So, from the book of Romans, we hear, "May the God of hope, not of despair, but of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope in your families, in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, by the power of the Holy Spirit." All right, you guys, hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week.